Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. You know, as best as can be remembered, it was a story that was first printed in a little magazine called Guideposts. It has been shared since then many times from numerous pulpits and podcasts. No doubt it is familiar to you. And it might be helpful if, as you listen to the rest of this, that you go grab a fork. Yeah, a fork. It'll be helpful. You see, as the story goes, there was a woman who had been diagnosed with terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him which songs she wanted sung during the service, which scriptures she would like read, what outfits she would like to be buried in. The woman also requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the woman suddenly remembered something very important to her. "Oh, there's one more thing," she said excitedly. "What's that?" came the pastor's reply. "Oh, this is very important," the woman continued. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." Well, the pastor stood looking at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. "That surprises you, doesn't it?" the woman asked. "Well, to be honest, I am puzzled by the request," said the pastor. The woman explained, "You know, in all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' You know, it was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie, something wonderful, something amazing. So I just want people to see me there in that casket with my fork in my hand. And I want them to wonder, what's with the fork? And then," she went on to say, "I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork, because the best is yet to come.'" The pastor's eyes welled up with tears of joy as he hugged the woman goodbye. He knew this would be one of the last times he would see her before her death. But he also knew that the woman had a better grasp of heaven than even he did. She knew that something better was coming. At the funeral a few weeks later, people were walking by the woman's casket, and they saw the pretty dress she was wearing and her favorite Bible. And they saw the fork placed in her right hand. Well, over and over as they passed by, the pastor heard the question, "Wonder what's with the fork?" And over he just smiled. Then, during his message, the pastor told the people of the conversation he had with the woman shortly before she died. He also told them about the fork and about what it symbolized to her. The pastor told the people how he could not stop thinking about the fork and told them that they probably would not be able to stop thinking about it either. You know, the woman had the right perspective about how to live through difficult times, with her eyes always looking forward to heaven, like a child looking forward to dessert, that the best is yet to come. You know, it's absolutely fitting that our final sheltering psalm in this study is one that has us looking forward to the best which is yet to come. Psalm 16, our final sheltering psalm, was written by David during a brief moment of peace in the midst of fleeing from the jealous King Saul's attempts to kill him. As the story goes in 1 Samuel 26, jealous King Saul and 300 of his soldiers were in hot pursuit of David. They stopped to camp for the night, completely unaware that David and his friends were actually nearby as well. Well, in the middle of the night, David and his friend Abishai crept into Saul's camp while everyone was asleep. They could have taken Saul's life, but David knew that that would have been wrong because Saul was God's anointed king, even though he didn't act much like it. Instead, David and Abishai took Saul's spear and water jug. that were right next to where he was sleeping. Then they ran into the hills undetected. When they were a safe distance away, David cried out to wake up Saul and his soldiers and to let Saul see that David had his spear and water jug. And David shouted out and told them he had gotten so close to Saul, he could have killed him if he wanted to, but he didn't, because David served God. Well, upon hearing that, Saul was overcome, and he was humbled. And for a time, he stopped pursuing David. And so God provided David with a brief time of peace from running, during which time David wrote Psalm 16. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book, Shelter in God, puts that time this way. He writes, David finds himself in a temporary oasis of tranquility. He's not running for his life, and he's able to enjoy peace of mind. He takes the time to reflect upon all the good things he has received from the Lord. Psalm 16 is the record of his spiritual inventory. You know, David is celebrating the blessings of God in the midst of the crisis. So consider David's circumstances as you listen to Psalm 16. David writes, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." You know, David is showing us how to count our blessings in the midst of our difficulties. First, we see that David remembers who God is. He says God is Elohim, El Shaddai, the all-powerful, all-loving God. And secondly, we see that David rehearses what God is doing now in his life, that God is his portion and cup, meaning God is providing for him in the midst of this crisis. Doesn't that sound familiar to us today? I mean, think of all the ways we could each list how God is providing for us in the midst of this pandemic, all of his blessings. You know, several of you joined me recently on our Facebook page to list the ways that God has blessed you and provided for you during this pandemic. I know we each could have had a list a mile long. Well, that's how David must have felt too. Well, finally, we see in this psalm that David also rejoices in what God will do in the future. Now, this is amazing. Stop and look at God pulls back the curtain of prophecy for David to get a glimpse of his future in heaven and even the future of the Holy One, Jesus. That is astounding. Listen again to Psalm 16, 9 through 11. God is pulling back the curtain for David to see heaven. David writes this, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." God gave David a glimpse that the best was yet to come. And ladies, you can have confidence that God is with you now in the midst of this pandemic crisis. And more importantly, that God has a future plan for you as well. Dr. Jeremiah writes it in his book this way. He writes, "We are going to know joy as it is meant to be known, and pleasures as we have never known it." Can you believe that? Can you look beyond the current crisis and trust that even though you can't see when it will end, the best is yet to come? You know, David could do that, and countless souls throughout the ages have joined him in joy that flies in the face of rational explanation, pursued as they have been by the giants of life, the jealous kings of daily experience, the limitations of relationships, and the disappointment of hopes and dreams. They have found that these very times of discouragement have been defined not by the absence of God, but somehow by the miraculous, closer presence of Him. They have stared at the emptiness of death and realized that it holds the fullness of a feast. They have clung to Him, found His love and peace and wisdom, and joined with the great throng of those who sit at the banquet table. The dessert hasn't arrived, but the anticipation of it is already in the air. Perhaps in one way, this is the best moment of all, the moment of anticipation, the moment when we realize the best is yet to come. You know, if you're listening to this call, I figure that you probably already know the way to heaven, and you probably have already made your reservation by putting your trust in Jesus. But in case you aren't sure, you don't need to wonder. Now let me share with you how Dr. Jeremiah puts it. He writes this, "God wrapped himself in human flesh and came to live among us. He came to teach us. He came to heal us. And ultimately, he came to save us. He brought healing to those who suffered. He brought freedom to those who were enslaved. He brought love to those who had been despised and rejected, even as he himself was despised and rejected for his efforts. Why was it necessary for God to walk among us? Well, because all humanity had been infected by something far more insidious than COVID-19 or any other disease. There were no government guidelines to stop the spread of this corruption. Each of us was infected at birth. We were spiritually sick with no vaccine in sight and no hope of recovery. The name given to that sickness today is sin. That's not a popular word, I know, but it is an important one. For if we want to be cured from our affliction, we must understand the source. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not only that, but in Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You've seen the truth of those statements, haven't you? Death is inevitable, unavoidable. Despite our medical advances and all the progress of all the great minds in history, death still carries a 100% infection rate. To make matters worse, the death described in the Bible is not only physical, but spiritual. Our very souls are at stake. Yet God offers a cure, Himself. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus paid the price for that cure when He shed His blood for us on the cross. His blood is what makes us clean. His blood is what makes us well and gives us the promise of life and restoration, not only in the here and now, but for all eternity. The key is that we must accept it. We must apply the cure. We must inoculate ourselves against the corruption of sin by filling our spirits with God's Spirit and allowing Him to make us new, born again. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe you would want to do that right now. If so, tell Him. If you're not quite sure what to say, maybe you could just quietly say something like this, "Jesus, I love you. I know I've made mistakes in my life, and I have sinned. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, you are the only one who can take away my sins. And Jesus, I want to give my heart and my life to you now and forever. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." Well, if you prayed to ask Jesus into your heart for the very first time, praise God. At this very moment, the angels in heaven are rejoicing and celebrating right now that you have been saved for all eternity. And let me celebrate with you. Just email me, beth@spiritofsuccess.com, so I can celebrate and help you with what that all means and next steps. We can all praise God today. And by the way, save your fork, because the best is yet to come. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.